Well, it's no secret that Michigan has turned out some mighty powerful figures in the world of pop music. Musicians and artists whose influence rocketed out of Michigan and spread around the world. A great example of this is the United Kingdom. So many artists there were influenced by the R&B and Motown music, the Beatles, the Stones, the Who, and so many more. Chris Hawkins is a music journalist, and he's a host on BBC Radio 6 Music, and he joins us now from Manchester. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Cindy.
It's good to have you with us. You know, Chris, I think about the beginnings of this kind of love affair that British kids had with American R&B and Motown music. And, you know, we take for granted internet streaming. Click on, you know, your smartphone or your iPad or your laptop and you can hear music from all over the world. But when these British kids were first getting wind of R&B and Motown, that certainly wasn't the case. How'd they discover it?
Well, it was all about vinyl, of course, in those days. And in the clubs, it relied upon DJs travelling from the States to the UK and UK DJs travelling to the States, hearing the sounds and physically bringing them back. As you say, it's all about streaming these days. And I think it's staggering. I was doing some research talking to some teenagers in the UK recently, and they had no concept of owning a record collection, which is a completely alien idea to me. And I guess it is to you, too.
Yes.
The idea of not having a physical collection. They think it's ludicrous. Why would you buy your music when you can get it all for free? At least you can listen to every single song you want. And in their minds, and they're probably right, there is not going to be a time when they can't get music for free.
Isn't that something?
Isn't that weird? Well, because I love opening up the sleeve of a CD these days. And in the past, I loved flicking through my vinyl.
Yeah, well, and the other thing it did is it let you explore things that you didn't even know were there. You would open up a record and there would be all the sides on each side of the album, all the songs on each side of the album. So it wasn't just, well, I like this one and this one and this one, and picking the track that you want to add to your collection of MP3s.
Totally, and very often spending your pocket money on records because you like the sleeve. You go to a record store on a Saturday, check through what you were really interested in, and then you might look over, and you might have gone for one particular record, but really liked the cover of another and bought it on that basis alone.
Well, I know when, Chris, when Sir Paul McCartney came to Detroit, came here to Michigan in 2011, he played a huge concert at our baseball stadium at Comerica Park. And before the show, he made a specific request and a point of touring Hitsville, USA, which is that little house that was home to Motown. And while he was on the tour, he's found a battered old Steinway piano. It was right there in Studio A. And he asked to play it. And they said, oh, it's just in such terrible shape, it can't be played. And Sir Paul went, really? And then he paid to have that piano shipped to New York to Steinway, paid to have it rebuilt, and then he played it at a benefit concert for the Motown Museum, all because he loved Motown music so much. And does that kind of thing surprise you?
Well, perhaps to a point. It's an extreme thing to do, and you have to have a lot of money to be able to do it. But I think that's a great thing, isn't it? That's paying back the dues that the Beatles perhaps owed to, if not Motown, but to the music of an amazing city in an amazing state.
What other artists do you think were heavily influenced by the music that came out of, we'll say out of Detroit, because we were talking about these early days, and I think Motown was the big, big thing out of Detroit.
Yeah, of course. So let's pick an example. Let's say Tears of a Clown, Smokey Robinson. Okay, quintessential for me at least, and I think for perhaps anyone in the UK. You may beg to differ, but I think you'll probably agree. Quintessential Motown artist, right?
Yes, very much so.
Perfect Motown soul act. He was on the Ready, Steady, Go Motown special, which pretty much broke all Motown acts here in the UK. And with that music by Stevie Wonder, the lyrics by Smokey, that song has everything.
I was also told when I interviewed Martha Reeves, she was very clear that she and the Vandellas had a huge following in England when Dancing in the Streets first broke in the 60s. But even when I sat down and talked with her 10 years or so ago, she was still drawing big crowds whenever she'd come over and play in England. Her loyal English
fans.
Yeah,
I went to see her. Yeah, I saw her not too many years ago, but in the last 10 years. And you know what? That felt like being a part of something very special. It was one of those nights where you just thought, there are not going to be too many more chances to experience this. And she was still brilliant now. Yeah. Well, and you think about not just what she has achieved and what the music that she and they made, but what a bigger picture she was a part of, and that factory, that unrelenting music machine that was Motown.
Yeah. I was also told a story by a kid from Manchester who made it big, and that was Peter Noon, who was Hermit of Hermit's Hermits. And
yeah.
When the Hermits were huge at the really peak of their career, and they packed Olympia Stadium in Detroit with Screaming Girls, of which I was one. After the concert, Peter Noon told me he went to Hitsville. He didn't have an appointment. They didn't let him in. They were recording at whatever time. And he said he just sat on the porch just to soak it up.
Yeah.
And again, it struck me of how much passion artists from England had for this music. What was it, do you think, about this Motown sound that just made them go, wow? What was it replacing, and what spoke to them?
That's a very good question, because we were, of course, coming out of a period of 50s rock and roll, and through the 60s, the Beatles, as you were talking about, the Beatles breaking through. And then there was something new. Can you describe it from your side? Because I think you probably have a different perspective. I'd be interested to hear what you think it was from, as an American, what you think it was that made it so appealing.
It was the production. I think it was that incredible wall of sound that the Funk Brothers offered up every time that they played on track. So it was just that like Dancing in the Streets, for instance. It was just, it captured the moment in America, and it spoke to everybody in many ways, whether it was let's have a great time, or there were others who saw Dancing in the Street as a call to civil rights, action. So it just was some kind of a wonderfully universal sound that just kind of shook it up. The way that when the Beatles came here, that shook everything up. So instead of crooners like Bobby Vinton or Bobby Rydell or, that kind of softer sound, bam, here comes this new sound.
And there was something joyous, wasn't there, about the sound of Motown? Something joyous, but as you say, the lyrics often a little more complicated, a little more deep, a lot more to the writing in some cases too. And it was like nothing we'd ever experienced here before. It was a hit factory, and it was a reliable source of music too, because it was hit after hit, and it made artists huge stars, and we adopted those stars in many ways here too. Going back to Tears of a Clown, I think I'm right in saying this, you may know otherwise, but I think it was a B-side. Certainly when it was released here in the UK, and it was actually an English woman who was head of the Motown fan club in the UK who insisted that it would be a great single and was wasted as a B-side, and that's how it got known.
And there you go, somebody just acted. And in fact, speaking of an individual person with a lot of influence, we ought to talk a little about in those early days as these bands were coming out of England and trying to break into America, it was Detroit radio, or really Windsor, CKLW in Windsor, and a woman named Rosalie Trombley, who was their program director, who heard My Generation and Can't Explain and these early songs and said, I'm playing them on my station. And it was a huge station. And I think there are a lot of UK artists who credit that woman and that radio station for getting them off the ground in America.
That's an amazing thing, isn't it, having that kind of history and to think that there is one person perhaps that could be deemed responsible for changing the face and the sound of music.
Yeah, yeah. Pete Townsend of The Who is always very open in praising Detroit for launching The Who, and you will find it isn't hard to find Detroiters who saw the Rolling Stones and saw The Who playing at Southfield High School when they were just starting to make it in America, and then later the Grandy Ballroom, which was a legendary rock club in Detroit. Then moving through these decades, from the Motown glory days, Chris, what do you see as some other artists or songs from Michigan that really, really had big impact in the UK?
Well, I'd like to come back to the blues, but let's talk about perhaps punk and The Stooges, No Fun. A song. What an amazing piece of music. It's a game changer, isn't it? An incredible piece of music. And I think I'm right in saying that this is what came before the Ramones. This was long before the Sex Pistols too.
Yes.
This was it. This was the beginning, not just a change in music, but the change to a culture, a cultural phenomenon.
You're right, it was a sea shift, and Iggy's still chugging away.
Well, the wonderful thing that you have given us, and I mean very specifically at BBC Radio 6 Music, is Iggy Pop, because he's a colleague of mine at 6 Music and presents a show every Sunday afternoon.
And he's from right here in the Ann Arbor area, so we'll
absolutely. Have you seen him play?
I have not myself. I know people, there are people who have huge influence, and I hear it's an incredible experience.
Yeah, I think we've got Iggy to thank for stage diving. I think if anyone can ever be responsible for being the first person to stage dive, it may have been Iggy.
Now, another artist from Michigan, started in Bay City and then grew up in Rochester Hills, Madonna Louise Ciccone. And what an impact she's had.
Well, in terms of Michigan music sparking a response in the UK, I don't know that any artist has been more popular than Madonna. There have been those that may have matched her, but in terms of her music and popular culture, she has icon status. Vogue, it was, that took moves from the underground gay clubs into the horrid, as I remember, little night spots that I used to go to in the small town where I grew up. Everyone was voguing, and I remember nights at this particular club, I'll name it Park Lane, in a small town called Shrewsbury, where the DJ would put on Vogue, and I can remember vividly standing at the bar watching inebriated friends and locals attempting to vogue, and those sights will live in my nightmares forever, Cindy.
I'm speaking with Chris Hawkins, who's a music journalist, and he's a host on BBC Radio 6 Music, as we explore the impact of Michigan artists on UK fans and UK artists. Now, I'm interested in Eminem. He just actually recently sold out Comerica Park for two solid nights, he and Rihanna playing together. How much impact and influence is Eminem having on in the UK?
Do you know, I remember playing My Name Is on the radio for the very first time. I was doing a Saturday afternoon show on the BBC's radio station for London. And I remember the producer, I remember this so clearly, the producer of the programme came to me. The show started at 2 p.m. And at 1:45 that afternoon, he'd been dropped off a single by the record company and told it would be good to get this on the air as soon as possible because this guy's going to be big news. And I can remember the sleeve, it was red and white, and it said My Name Is on it. So we listened to it very quickly. We put it on and thought, okay, right, this is going to be massive. Is it really going to be massive? It didn't really feel like it was going to be a big record, but we played it on the show. The reaction was mixed, as you can probably imagine. But of course, he went on to be huge. And I remember seeing him at Milton Keynes Bowl the last time he played in the UK. And I remember not Cypress Hill was supporting. I remember him not only being of superstar status at the time,
yeah,
he had an aura about him and he had attitude. And I remember, if this is any gauge of how popular and how sold out that gig was, it took me 3.5 hours to get out of the car park afterwards.
Oh, that is a gauge. Oh, boy. How about Kid Rock? Now, I can tell you, the reason I'm asking this is because my family and I wind up going to Ireland often because we have relatives there. And I can remember being out in the tiniest corner in County Galway where it's Irish speaking and English is understood. And I walked in and what's playing is Kid Rock all summer long. And they were so impressed that I was from near where Kid Rock lives. So does he have a following in the UK?
Do you know what? I'm going to say, yes, he probably does, but he's not on my radar and he's not on any of my friends. I'm mid to late 30s. And I think that's Kid Rock is a successful artist on MOR radio. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's a big playlist artist. And that particular song, this time of year, of course, it's huge. But beyond that, I'm not sure that Kid Rock is a massive deal in the UK.
Yeah.
And as I say, certainly not for me and not for Six Music.
We have such a techno music scene that's coming out of Detroit and out of Southeast Michigan. And I have talked to these DJs who know that they have really, really avid UK fans. What kind of impact is Detroit's techno making?
Well, I think it all stems back. I'm going to take this right back to Strings of Life, Derek May, under the name Rhythm is Rhythm, okay? Mm-hmm. And you'll remember when this came out. He was a guy who was at school with a couple of friends who became the Belleville Three. And that track, it got its name from Frankie Knuckles, okay? And it basically sparks what we know as Acid House, okay? This is where it all started with that particular track. And that was a scene that, for me personally, it was just when I was starting to go out and I was aware of pub culture and club culture. And with that track came a different clubbing scene completely. A London club called Shoom opened in round about 1986-87. And it was DJ Danny Rampling's club, and he and his wife opened it. And it was a very different feel. It was a hazy fog. It was a kind of dreamy atmosphere, and the acid house music played. And that time here in the UK became to some the second summer of love and the smiley T-shirts. And then with that, in terms of culture, there was then this huge fear after the tabloid newspapers here supported this whole idea of the summer of love. Then came the recreational drug culture with it, and the tabloids turned completely on this kind of sound and blamed these DJs, these clubs, for the use of drugs in the UK in a big way for a fairly long period of time in the end.
Interesting. And I know again, thanks to the internet, so much can be explored and shared from country to country and across an ocean with a click. I would be interested, as someone who is a music journalist, who follows music, who plays music to audiences in England, Chris, would you be able to characterize or describe a Michigan sound?
Do you know what? I can, in a contemporary way.
Go.
The White Stripes.
Good point.
Yeah, okay, so there is Motown, of course, and we will have that forever. It's a musical treasure, the whole Motown sound. But you know what? I think the White Stripes do it, and I think they are incredible. They're one of my favourite bands of all time. I've seen them play live on a number of occasions. I think Jack White is as close to genius as it's possible to be. The guy is incredible, and with that garage blues sound, he does what maybe John Lee Hooker started in the 40s and has encapsulated a part of every scene since, and is a groundbreaking artist, and he knows how to make a great record. And I'm not talking about your Kid Rock mainstream sound.
Right.
I am talking about alternative music made in a way that it's impossible not to appreciate its brilliance.
Give me three adjectives that you would use to describe the White Stripes sound.
Innovative. Mm-hmm. Interesting. The next one has a hyphen. Mind-blowing.
There you go. You get it. Very fun to talk about music with you, Chris Hawkins, who's host on BBC Radio 6 Music, as we explore the influence that musicians and artists from Michigan have had in the UK. Chris, thanks for talking with us on Stateside. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Cindy. Great to talk to you.